the Garden of Eden. It's a paradise, that's what they say. But believe it or not, you'll be living in a parking lot if you can't make it pay. Now the mayor's a liberal, and the council is mixed, and there's a socialist riding on board. And they raised up the minimum to 15 an hour. That's the least that the boss could afford. Still, you're sleeping on a cardboard mattress, and your house on the hill is a tent. And they could freeze all the prices right now, but you still couldn't pay for the rent. Now some people tell me there's nothing you can do about it. It's just human nature, they claim. This is the greatest system in the world. It just needs a little lube on the chain. Well, me, I got a better idea. I say let's shut it all down. Let's defang the bankers and sink all the tankers and spread all the money around. 'Cause Seattle is a Garden of Eden. It's a paradise at the end of its line. So let's put it out with the curbside recycling and try to do better next time.
I can't help in hearing that song but think of Didn't We Shut It Down, right? Your song about the WTO protest.
Yeah, well, that was the thing about, you know, they were going to come and shut down the meetings. It's only a song, so you can get kind of overboard. But if you notice, I say, let's shut it all down. Then I say, let's put it out with the curbside recycling. I didn't say put it out in the trash. Recycling is where you put things in. Supposedly, it goes away somewhere where people take it apart and they put it into something better and bring it out. So that's basically what the song is saying.
Yeah, so where do you find hope? I mean, you've been watching these trends. You've been watching it all happen for...
I don't use that word. I don't like that word. It sounds like you're hoping that things will change instead of doing something. You're hoping that someone will come along and make it better. It's almost a religious term. It's like you're hoping the Savior will come before too long. You see, we have to get past that. Hope is where the oppressed people sit down and wait to be saved. That's hope. We don't have hope. We have plans. We have parties, we have organizations, we have committees, we talk, we meet, we get together, we do things, we do actions. Hope is when you're not doing anything. This morning in The Guardian, there was a story about it. I mean, I'd known about it for a couple of days, but I just read about it this morning. A guy in, Arizona, somewhere like that. He's part of an organization called, I think, No More Deaths, and it's concerning the migrants coming up from Mexico who die. And this guy's being charged with the horrendous crime of humanitarian aid to people who are walking through the desert. He goes out there, and his friends go out there with water, and they leave water in certain places. They leave it so the migrants will find it. I have friends down there that do the same thing. And they told me when I was down there last year that they will come out to check on the water that they left and find bullet holes in it. So all the water leaked out. Somebody shot it. So the inspiration... Not the hope, but the inspiration is that these people go out there and they do that. And this guy goes out there and he does, and he's facing 6 years, but he goes ahead anyway. That's inspiring. You know? Hope, smoke, go out and do something. Get inspired by people like that.
You wrote a song about kind of fear in the era of Trump, didn't you?
I wrote 4 Trump songs.
Okay.
One before he even got elected. I always want to say arrested. Then I wrote one... But before the inauguration, and then I wrote one after the inauguration, and then I wrote one when I went in and made that record that I gave you. For that, I basically rewrote Masters of War. I called it Masters of Lies.
Yeah.
Again, different melody, different words, just kind of spins off the idea, and there's references to the idea in there.
Yeah.
I want to put this one down. Coming into my town, what you talking about? Coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. Coming into my town, what you talking about? Coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're a proud boy, you're a 3%, you're a virus looking for an incident. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're an alt-right, you're a bright Bart, you're a dead end looking for a place to start. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming into my town, what you talking about? You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming
coming into my town, what you talking about? Coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're a white supreme, you're a KKK, living under a rock, you ought to stay that way. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're a Nazi, you got a Nazi flag, you carry your brains in an air sick bag. Coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming into my town, what you talking about? You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming into my town, what you talking about? Coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. I know you're thinking that you got it made. You got the idiot president marching in your big parade. Yeah, but he's a blowhard, just like you. So bring him along, we'll do him too. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. That's like that. There's a whole lot of pissed off people coming around the bend. Yeah, we did it before, we're gonna do it again. Cause we're Americans, we got a short fuse, and all you fascists bound to lose. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out. You're coming into my town, I'm gonna run you out.
All right, well, that is a powerful one, isn't it? Can we go back to busking for a minute?
Yes,
and talk about busking?
Whatever you want.
Because I feel like, you know, what you're saying is that this, you know, busking, writing music, singing has this incredible immediacy, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to wait years for it to get published and come out. It's a form that's ready to address every crisis as it's unfolding. But the criminalization of musicians in public spaces is one way to kind of shut that out. And gentrification brings its own forms of criminalizing people who are gathering in public spaces, right?
Right.
So last summer, I think you did a series of songwriting events in the parks, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, at least, in Seattle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it seems like you're looking for other ways to kind of open up new public spaces in Seattle.
Well, yeah. We have all these little parks. They're called pocket parks. Some are about as big as a studio, you know, just a little vacant lot or something. The ones that we did those in were larger. They were actual, you know, like a half a block or something. But use them. Use them. I mean, there's a program in Seattle where they pay buskers to go in and play music in little parks where homeless people hang out. The idea being to drive them out. Okay? Yeah.
To drive them out. Yeah. Using music to drive people out.
Well, yeah, because it'll like upscale it rather than downscale it. It's that sort of, I mean, they've actually even pretty much said that. It has to do with the drinking, public drinking, intoxication. Maybe some drugs are involved, blah, 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 blah.
So music as an instrument of gentrification.
Yes, exactly.
Music as a weapon.
And I thought, yeah, for the wrong side. My thought was to create this little event where people come, and some of them were really cool, man. Everybody brought an instrument. There were kids with little instruments and so on, and people had songs, and we opened them up, you know, and let's sing songs, and I'm going to teach you these songs, we'll do this, we're going to do that, you know, and I'll teach you one of mine, and we'll do these songs, and we all got together, and we all sang. And that's nice to just kind of do and then leave, but the idea would be to keep it going. Anyway, that was...
And these are sing-alongs, right? So
yeah, I mean, I thought it would be really cool to have people gather, and, you know, if you can just get the idea in people's heads that you don't have to be a master... You don't have to have a good vocabulary. You don't have to be able to carry a tune. Just write what you see, what happened to you. Write what's going on in your neighbor. Write what your neighbors are doing. Write what your kids are doing. Write what your kids tell you when they come home from school. Write those things. Sing them. That's what counts. That's the stuff that counts. Go out and sing them. You know, and if we'd all like gather in those little public spaces, because if you don't gather in the public spaces, it's easier for them to take the public space away, you know? Whereas if you're there all the time, you know, it's like legalizing busking after all this time in Seattle, it would be hard for them to say, okay, enough is enough, we're done with this, if people are all going to get arrested or something, that'd be really hard to pull off. So if we start using those for something other than just staring into space or whatever people do, you know, singing them, like Washington Square Park in the 60s, Greenwich Village, you know. All those people would hang out there, Pete Seeger and stuff, and they'd all go sing those songs, all different kinds of songs. you know, every Sunday. They started out really small, then they got really big. And we need to do that. The music of today, the songs of today, the events of today, we need to be public with them amongst ourselves. And stop worrying about attracting somebody with money or a big cigar or a contract or anything like that. You know, leave them do their thing. This is for us. We need to do this for ourselves. We go do this. You know, we can build a culture.
You've written a lot of songs about poverty and a lot of songs about war. And I'm guessing that you're also recognizing how much of the domestic scene and people's quality of life and just ability to not die on the street is mm-hmm. related to the endless U.S. militarism.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It really is. It's frustrating to run into, you know, hate to bring the conversation this direction, but the classic kind of liberal thing, you know, of wanting capitalism to be nice, you know, and it's, we do have a standard of living that depends on somebody else's trouble, you know, somebody has to be hollowed out for us to have all this stuff. We've been doing it for years. It's how the place was founded, for God's sake. You know, it was founded on war. It was founded on war. It expanded on war. It gained territory on war. It's been at war since the beginning. You know, our national anthem is a war song. You know, the State Department used to be the War Department. All this stuff. The Bureau of Indian Affairs used to be in the war. Think about that one for a while. You know, it's a trip. It's a trip. And we need
to... It's more honest to call it the War Department, though, right?
It is, yeah.
And Defense Department.
Yeah, rather than Defense Department, yeah. But yeah, no, I think about these things and I sing about them to the best of my ability, but I don't want to sing handbills. I don't want to sing speeches. I want to sing songs. Okay, my example, my model is the Midnight Special, which is a song that pretty much everybody knows. Okay, it's a perfect song. Completely perfect. It's got four verses that I know of anyway. Each one is a little story into itself. It's written beautifully, very human. It's got a class consciousness to it. You know, it's got the woman going to see the governor with a piece of paper to try to get her husband out of jail. You know, it's got the guys in jail there being careful what they say or they won't get fed. You know, it goes through all this stuff. And then the last verse is, if you ever go to Houston, you better walk right or that cop will arrest you. And he'll take you down and you can bet your bottom dollar your penitentiary bound. That's a warning written by somebody who knew. And they could probably tell you the guy's name, but it's not in the song. You know, the cop that would arrest you. It's a perfect song. And the chorus is, let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. You know, now if you don't know anything, like I didn't know anything when I first heard it. I learned it and I sang it. I didn't know anything about it. I just thought it was kind of not really a nonsense song, but just kind of there was something really cool about it. It had some good feel to it. You know, shine its ever-loving light on me. I thought maybe that was like a spiritual thing or something. I don't know what. Then I found out it's a penitentiary song, and that the mythology was that there was a train that went by every night, long around midnight, roughly speaking. They called it a midnight special, and the mythology was that if the light from that train shone on you, you would be paroled soon. Now the song gets even more interesting, but my point is, it's a good song before you know it, and it's a good song after you know it. It's just a good song. But it's only really good because it has reality in it. You can sing it without knowing the reality. You can hear it without knowing the reality. And it's still good. But that's the test. The test of an insider song is, will an outsider get off on it? You know? And if they don't, back to the drawing board.
Well, music is infused with resistance. So I guess that's the part that's not just hope, right?
Yes.
It's resistance, right? Yes. It's resistance. Yeah. I mean, so your music has had an impact on so many, you know, such a strong impact on the Northwest music scene, including, you know, Portland's own Dave Rovick. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Dave is real good. I met him in Seattle at a bar called Murphy's that I was playing in. A friend, a mutual acquaintance, brought him down. And at that time, he had hair down to his knees, practically. And he was doing... You know, he was doing Billy Bragg songs or whatever the song. He was doing all kinds of punk songs and stuff and folk songs. And I think he learned a couple of mine in there. But I remember when he was saying he couldn't write, he didn't have a thing to say. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I've got to go back and get a, you know, be a barista again because, you know, he's done that. You know, everybody's done. It's the modern bartending, right? And then before you know it, he's writing like a song a day. A song a week, whatever it is. You know?
Yeah, he's pretty prolific.
He's very prolific. And he told me or told other people or wrote it on his blog or something. Can't remember exactly. I think he wrote it. That there's no mystery of songwriting. Just start. Just keep doing it and you'll get better. And he's right. He's completely right. And he's written some magnificent songs. You know? And he learned how to do it by doing it. So if you want to write songs, just do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. Okay?
Nice.
Just do it. Don't ever let anybody... That's the thing about busking. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't sing, play, and write. You can. You can do all of those things, and you can go out and you can sing right now. You know?
Yeah,
and if people laugh at you, that's their problem.
And the cop told you you couldn't, and you took it to City Hall.
Exactly. But, you know, the indie scene is very healthy. The music scene is great. There are great people singing, great people playing. Don't let anybody ever say, where have all the protest songs gone? Just tell them to listen. Jays, go to the club. Listen to a busker. Walk around. Turn on the... They're all over the place. People are singing all over the place.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for taking the time to come into the studio and talk with me today. And I'm so sorry to tell our audience, right, that you will already be gone from town by the time that this interview airs. But if people want to know, people, you know, who are unaware of how to catch your shows and get more information, jimpage.net, is that where they should
go? Jimpage.net, right. And I have a new CD out, and so you can... There's places you can download it. You can contact me. I can send you one. It'll probably be up in CD Baby before too long.
You've been listening to the second half of a two-part interview with the legendary Northwest singer-songwriter activist Jim Page. This has been Desiree Helligers with the Old Mole Variety Hour.